Turn with me to Luke chapter 6 and verses 43 through to 49. A few weeks ago, when we looked at 2 Samuel chapter 6, we saw King David bringing the Ark of God to Jerusalem, because David wanted the Ark that represented the presence of God and contained the Word of God to be where it belonged, at the heart of his people. And then on the afternoon of our church anniversary, we reflected for a short time on the Great Commission that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his disciples, and through them to his church in all ages. And we were reminded that the Lord Jesus and his words are to be central to his people. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 28 and in verses 18 through to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And then this: "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The words of Jesus were to be central to his people. And we're not just to hear what Jesus says, nor simply assent to what Jesus says, but to live in the light of his word day by day. It's much easier to do that in a fellowship of the Lord's people than out in the world in which we live day by day. But that's what we're called to do, that we might be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. I hope too that when we fail, as invariably we will, that we will be disappointed with ourselves and apologize to the Lord and seek his help to turn from all that offends him and overcome these failures, to follow him in the strength that he gives. The Lord wants us to be real disciples, trusting and following him day by day, living in the light of his word. Now, as we turn to this familiar passage from the teaching of Jesus in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, and verses 43 through to 49, we are again reminded of the importance of putting the words of Jesus into practice day by day, of living in the light of God's word, not only collectively as the people of God, but individually as well. And so we have this parable of the wise and foolish builders. When I was in my teens, I lived in rural Suffolk. One of my best friends lived in the outskirts, on the outskirts of a little town called Debenham. His address was number 1, Low Step Cottages. Now, you will not be surprised if I say that I had to go down a flight of stone steps to visit his house. It was one of a pair of cottages that were built in the valley of the River Deben. Most of the time, living in low-step cottages was a dream. The soil was rich because it was a river valley. And his dad and mum had beautifully kept terraced gardens. There was a gentle stream flowing through at the back of their house. It was a lovely spot to visit. But just now and again, after a few days of heavy rain, the river would overflow its banks. And the ground floor of the cottages would be flooded. And the family were well practiced. When they saw the river getting up to a dangerous level, they would move everything upstairs. The furniture, the carpet, everything. I'm not sure if you would believe me if I told you that my friend's surname was Ship. But it was. When I read the story of the wise and foolish builders, I imagined them building their houses in a river valley. I also imagined that the houses the two builders built looked alike. And that doesn't take a great deal of imagination, because most of the houses around when Jesus was around seemed to me to look alike. But although the houses may have looked alike, they were different. One was built by a wise man, and the other by a foolish man. The wise man dug down and found solid rock and built his house on that rock. The foolish man didn't do that. He simply built his house on the earth or on the loose gravel and sand of a river valley. Once the building work was complete, the houses looked fine. And I can imagine them inviting their friends to examine their workmanship. And at the end of the day, as the sun was setting, I imagine them sitting on their flat roofs, admiring the view. But then one day in the story of Jesus, the clouds gathered and the rain began to fall. The wind blew up a gale. And the river began to swell and to swirl. And soon, the river banks overflowed and began to wash away the earth, the gravel, the sand. Although the storm beat vehemently against the house that was built on the rock, that house stood firm. But the house that was built on the loose gravel sand came crashing down. When I was a child in Sunday school, I used to love singing an action song based on this particular story. The wise man built his house upon the rock. But there was another song, a song that picked up the point that Jesus was making. That song said, we are building day by day in our work and in our play. It's a bit universalist in its theology, but it does actually pick up the first part of the point that building is about, the building points to us building our lives. Something that Paul makes so clear in 1 Corinthians and chapter 3 and verses 11 through to 17. He says, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the rock. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. We're called to build day by day a life that glorifies God. The things we plan, the things we think, the things we say, the things we do, all combine to make up the life we are building. But are we building wisely? Are we building our lives on the teaching of Jesus? Are we building our lives on the Word of God? And just as a foundation gives shape to a building, so Jesus should be shaping our lives. On a number of occasions, I've been on a building site. Now, I remember very distinctly when my older sister got married, and her husband were having a brand new bungalow built and walking among the foundations. And it just seemed ridiculous, because having dug out the trenches for the foundations, the bits in the middle were so tiny, you thought, well, how can that be a bathroom? How can that be a toilet? How can that be this? How can that be the other? But of course, once the foundations were laid and the bricks were built, and they weren't nearly as wide as the foundations, you could see the whole thing coming together. But it shaped the building, didn't it? The foundation shaped the building. And Jesus would shape our lives for his praise and his glory. But are we building on him? Are we allowing him to shape our lives? Those who design and build houses in our country know that no 2 days are the same. Some are bright and sunny. Some are wet. Some are windy. Sometimes it snows. Sometimes it's freezing cold. And so when we build our houses, we take all these things into consideration. And in the same way, we ought to build our lives with the awareness that life is not all sunshine. There will be times when we are faced with the storms of life. There may even be times when we face one storm after another and we find ourselves saying something like, it never rains but it pours. Let us ask ourselves whether the lives we are building can cope with the stresses and strains of life. Because that's the challenge of this story. The key to survival is to build our lives on the foundations of the words of Jesus, on the foundation of the Word of God. The words of Jesus, of course, reveal his mind, his heart, and his will. They reveal him himself. And so he's calling us not simply to build our lives on his words, but to build our lives on him himself. And this includes looking at him as the one and only person who can remove the barrier that separates us from God and reconciles us to God. He came as our sin bearer. He came to take away our sin as we repent of our sin and place our trust in him. Looking to him as the one who bore the penalty for our sin, that we might be forgiven and reconciled to God and enjoy fellowship with him forever. Have we taken him at his word? It also includes trusting and following him day by day. This includes discovering the great promises he makes to us, and also what he's doing for us in heaven now. And it is by building our lives on Christ and his words that we build a life that can cope with the stresses and strains of life's storms. In the scriptures, and throughout the ages of the Christian church, and in the world around us today, are many who bear testimony to this truth and encourage us to put our hand into the Lord's hand and walk with Him day by day. I was reading just a couple of days ago about a man called Sam. Sam lived in Iran. And Sam was converted through hearing a radio program. And Sam decided that Sam had been an athlete, had represented his country. And he decided that it would be good to meet up with other Christians. And so he went to a fellowship of Christians from other countries. And they told him he couldn't stay because he was passé speaking and they weren't allowed to welcome people from his language. The government wouldn't allow them to welcome people from his language. And every time he tried fellowship, there was just no doors opening for him. And you would have thought he could have given up. But he didn't. He persevered and is having to plow a very lone furrow as a Christian. But the Lord is with him and helping him in this difficult walk that he has for him. The Lord is with him. He is walking with him day by day in the light of his word. Of course, responding to the words of Jesus means different things at different times and in different situations and different circumstances. Sometimes the response will be an active response. The Lord's calling us to do something. Then our response must be to do it. Sometimes the response will be a passive response. Resting in the Lord in a given situation. I remember as a young man feeling very frustrated. I so wanted to go and share the gospel with a person who was dying. But my way was barred. And I had simply to give that situation to the Lord, however tough it was at that particular time. And sometimes the response will be to receive a promise from the Lord and to trust His word. I mention this because it's important when we face the storms of life that we do not think that our only comfort and security is in doing something. Our comfort and security is found in responding to the words of Jesus, which can be a statement he makes about himself, a promise he makes to us, as well as a command he gives to us. Sometimes, as we see in the Old Testament prophets, their strength is to sit still and to rest in the Lord until he makes the way clear for us. It's also important to remember that we should not wait until the storms of life come before we listen to the words of Jesus and respond to them. If we don't think about the words of Jesus now, who is to say we will think about them when the storms of life come? And if we ignore his words now, who is to say we won't ignore them when the storms of life come? I was absolutely blown away on one occasion. A person was facing a terminal illness. And I quite expected them to take an interest in spiritual things. But nothing of the sort. No, their only interest was when their new coloured television would arrive. All they talked to me, the whole time I was with them, was about their coloured television. And I thought, I could just see that she would never see a coloured television. And she didn't. But her interest in spiritual things was nil. So who is to say, if we ignore the words of Jesus now, we will listen to them when we face the storms of life? Indeed, there's a very real danger. If we ignore the words of Jesus now, we will build up a resistance to them. We need to begin listening and applying them to our lives now. And if we do so, enormous benefits follow. Because as we read the Word of God and we live the Word of God, we will begin to live a life in line with God's Word. We will become used to responding to God's Word. We will become more and more familiar with what He says, so that we will have a rich resource to draw on in the different situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in. The Word of God provides us with wisdom for different situations, warnings for different dangers, so that we know how to act in a godly and responsible way in different situations. To listen to the Word of God and to apply it to our lives is a great investment for the future. As we do that, we will also be right with God and glorify Him. We will be more and more comfortable with the Lord, if you understand me. We will be more and more familiar with His love. We will be more and more familiar with His mercy. More and more familiar with His grace. More and more familiar with His compassion. We will understand more clearly His plans and His purposes. And when we cannot understand, when perhaps we are baffled by a situation or a circumstance we face, we will trust Him. We will put our hand in His hand. I don't know whether any of you listened to the service on Radio 4 this morning. Yes. Interesting, wasn't it? But there were three words that I picked up that related to one of the Psalms. Orientation, disorientation, and reorientation. And they're very true to life, aren't they? In life, we tend to think everything's going along smoothly, and we are orientated. But then things come, and we're disorientated. And we need to be reorientated, trusting and following the Lord Jesus Christ. And what blessings come to us from His Word in the storms of life. It's a thrilling book in the storms of life. If only in the storms of life we can read these things and trust these things. When we attempted to think that somehow we have been unfairly singled out, what a great corrective Matthew 5 and verse 45 is. Where Jesus says, He makes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. These things happen in life. And when difficulties arise, what assurances He gives us. Assurances that He's in control. Assurances that He loves us with an everlasting love. Assurances that He's always with us. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. A reminder that His resources are infinite. A reminder that He's able to meet all our needs according to the riches of His grace. A reminder that His plans for us are plans for good and not for evil. A reminder that His plans are not just for time, but for eternity. A reminder that we will never be allowed to
We will never be tempted beyond what we can bear. A reminder that His grace is sufficient for us. And a reminder that He will not allow anything to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. All these things are for us. All these things are with us in the storms of life. So let us get into the good habit of listening and applying God's word to our lives day by day. It is when we do this that we build our lives on a solid rock that will stand the storms of life. But if we fail to do that, we may find that when the storms of life come, we have no foundation. And we are devastated by our experiences. Time and time again, I heard in my pastoral ministry, people say, I don't know what I would do without the Lord. I was visiting a psychiatric hospital, visiting a very elderly lady who had severe psychiatric problems. And I sat and I chatted with her. And this dear lady, she looked at me and she said, Pastor, I don't know what I would do without the Lord. And that was a great comfort and encouragement to me in that situation. I don't know what I would do without the Lord. Or how can people cope without faith in a time like this? But what powerful words there are in verse 49. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Powerful words. May they never be true of us. But may we be those who build on the rock and not on the sand. Amen.